Hey Mason, July 9th, 2026. Today we are diving into a quick radar briefing to look over the newest research we have kept on file, followed by a full week in review of our progress with the community-governed data pipelines. We have some fascinating updates regarding how we are grounding our retrieval augmented generation models in those community-approved books to ensure the language remains authentic and sovereign. It is a busy one, but there is a lot of momentum in the technical side of our OCR workflows as well. Let's get right into the radar briefing to see what the latest papers are telling us about improving accuracy in low-resource language modeling.
Speaking of Felix Shore, for his friend is that the Genesis language commonly a mirror of the was a separate fact. Even collect for the Amandola made of Manchuic added to the public of the digital theater. The soul break point again and made like all IP for both rethinking artificial intelligence through the lens of cultural preservation, which mirrors our ongoing interesting language sovereignty. This is closely linked to new work by Bote Biosycom and others regarding cognitive pivot translation for the Mongolian language. Their research specifically addresses the difficulties of working with biographic languages and traditional scripts, which provides valuable insights for our own work with complex low-code orthographies and legacy text digitization. We are also seeing significant advancements in how models transfer knowledge across different languages to support those with fewer digital resources. Lukmar Lilias and Nevidujatiyake have explored cross-single transfer learning for speech recognition, moving from Sinhala to Dedhe. This approach to data-efficient adaptation is critical as we build speech tools for Lakota. Similarly, Andrea Alfarano and a team of researchers have conducted a large-scale study on how reasoning capabilities in English can improve performance in low-resource languages. This suggests that our efforts to ground the model in high-quality, community-approved English or Lakota reasoning tasks could directly boost its reliability in underserved linguistic contexts. The technical reliability of these systems remains a central concern, particularly regarding how we evaluate them. Felix Feldman and his co-authors have published a systematic evaluation of retrieval augmented generation configurations, focusing on retrieval quality and faithfulness. Their work on making large language models healthier through better retrieval processes aligns with our need to ensure that our RAG pipelines are grounded strictly in approved community texts. This focus on accuracy is echoed in the work of Darina Dementieva and her team, who are working to extend mathematical reasoning evaluations beyond high-resource languages. Their research highlights the current gap in how we measure the cognitive abilities of models when they are operating in underrepresented languages, a gap we must bridge to ensure our tools are truly capable and not just superficially fluent.
This question to make me beat, because they wrap up this week of tracking the rapid shifts in low-resource natural language processing and retrieval augmented generation, a clear pattern emerges. We are moving away from the era of simply trying to make models work in any language and moving into an era of making them work reliably, faithfully, and with deep respect for the specific cultural and orthographic nuances of the languages they serve. Speecher. If you look back at our discussion on rethinking Indic artificial intelligence through the lens of cultural heritage preservation, you see the philosophical foundation for everything else we have covered this week. It is not enough to just translate, we have to preserve the integrity of the heritage. This theme of integrity is the golden thread running through the research radar. It connects the technical struggle of optical character recognition for ancient scripts to the high-level architectural challenges of making retrieval augmented generation systems that do not hallucinate.
Bloom.
The most significant movement this week has been in the realm of retrieval augmented generation, or RAG. We have seen a massive influx of papers focusing on what we might call the reliability crisis in these systems. Earlier this week, we looked at the triage framework, which focuses on stage-aware instrumentation and finding exactly where a pipeline fails. This idea of per-stage evaluation is being echoed across the field. For instance, Yingdong Yang and Haijian Wu have proposed candidate-constrained retrieval augmented generation, which emphasizes citation-aware evidence aggregation. This is a direct technical answer to the problem of faithfulness. They are not just asking if the answer is right, but if the answer can be traced back to a specific verifiable piece of evidence. This connects deeply to the work of Mohamed Al-Bughlai on detecting hallucinations through grounding aware sensitivity. The core question being asked by researchers like Book Yang and Wu is the same. How do we ensure that the model is actually using the provided documents rather than just relying on its own internal and potentially biased weights? For your work in building community sovereign language tools for Lakota, this is the most critical takeaway. When you are grounding a model in community-approved books, the cost of a hallucination is not just a wrong fact, it is a violation of community trust and a potential corruption of the linguistic record. The research is moving toward grounding sensitivity, which means we need to build systems that are hyper-aware of when they are stepping outside the bounds of the provided text. We also saw a fascinating tension in the research regarding how much English we should rely on. Andrea Alfarano and colleagues published a large-scale study on multi- and cross-lingual performance, finding that reasoning capabilities in English can actually improve performance in low-resource languages. This is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it offers a path for data-efficient adaptation, which we discussed earlier this week in the context of Locotabert. On the hand, it raises the question of whether we are merely Englishifying the reasoning process, potentially stripping away the unique cognitive and linguistic structures of the target language. This tension is further explored by Hachian Zhou and his team, who looked at teacher-regularized reinforcement learning for English evidence cross-lingual RAG. They are trying to figure out how to use English as a bridge without losing the grounding in the target language's own evidence. This brings us to the technical frontier of underserved orthographies and complex layouts. We have seen significant progress in how we handle non-standard scripts. The work on Hunyuan OCR 1.5 is particularly relevant to your work on legacy text. They are using an agentic data construction system to make lightweight vision language models better at ancient scripts. This is a direct parallel to the work by Nguyen Kim Haibui and his colleagues on medieval Latin manuscripts, which we covered earlier this week. Both studies suggest that the future of optical character recognition for underserved orthographies lies in better data construction and more efficient lightweight models that can handle the visual complexity of historical documents. We see this same complexity in the work on Mongolian, specifically the Kopaite paper by Berte Bayarsaykin and others. They are tackling the problem of digraphic languages where a language uses two different scripts, which creates massive ambiguity. This is a high-level technical challenge that mirrors the difficulties of working with any language that does not follow a standard modern digital format. Whether it is the complex form comprehension in Bangla discussed by Abu Tiyab Azad, or the dialectal variations in Indian languages studied by Saurabh Kumar, the theme is clear: the standard models are failing because they assume a level of linguistic and visual uniformity that simply does not exist in the real world. As you move into next week, I want you to carry three specific themes with you. Speaker. First, the shift from can it do it to can it prove it. The research in RAG is no longer just about retrieval, it is about the rigorous per-stage evaluation of faithfulness and citation. For your Lakota RAG pipeline, the goal should not just be a model that answers questions, but a model that provides a grounding audit trail that a community elder or a linguist can verify. Second, the importance of data-efficient adaptation through cross-lingual transfer. The work on Sinhala and Divihe speech recognition, as well as the studies on uncertainty and reasoning, suggest that we can leverage high-resource languages to jumpstart low-resource ones. However, you must remain vigilant about the English pivot problem. The goal is to use the high-resource language as a scaffold, not a replacement. Third, the necessity of specialized OCR and document understanding. The research on Hunyuan OCR and the Bangla document benchmark shows that we cannot treat text as just a string of characters. We must treat it as a visual and structural entity. For your work with legacy Lakota texts, this means looking beyond simple character recognition and toward understanding the layout, the nuances of the script, and the historical context of the document. The week has been dense, but the signal is clear. The field is maturing. We are moving past the wow factor of large language models and into the hard, necessary work of building reliable, culturally grounded, and technically robust systems for the languages that the digital age has until now left behind. From the early morning fog to the late night storms, we have tracked a wide range of atmospheric shifts across the region this week. We have seen how pressure changes and moisture levels dictate the rhythm of our weather, moving from calm stability to sudden intense activity. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening, Mason, and I will talk to you again very soon.